The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." After making the crossing, they came to a land at Gennesaret, when the men of that place recognized him. They sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Many of you out there have my ordination card, and the image on the front of the ordination card is actually this scene right here. And it was hard for me to find, you know, sometimes these things are hard to find, but it was hard to find a depiction of it that I really liked, because in art sometimes you're like, I don't know. There was the part, basically the one I found was, you know, Jesus grasping, you know, Peter's, you know, wrist and hand like that and pulling him out of the water. And, you know, some of them are just a little bit too dainty of an image, and I just like the one where, you know, just Jesus is kind of grabbing him and like really like pulling him up out of the water. But it says just below that image, it just says, "Lord, save me," you know, from this part in Matthew. And it's amazing because it's absolutely necessary that we do what Peter does, which is take steps of faith. I think I've mentioned before, Father Tim, my good friend, I heard him say this to a bunch of young men discerning the priesthood at the Quo Vadis Day camp and retreat one time. He was talking to them about the idea of our faith is we so badly want the Lord to lay out in front of us kind of a roadmap. You know, "Lord, just give me the map, and then I promise I'll follow the map." But, you know, we're completely incorrect in that assertion, because we absolutely would not follow the map if we saw all the twists and turns and detours and difficulties that were on our entire road of our life. There's just no way. We'd be like, "Lord, this is a terrible plan. Why in the world would I follow any of this?" So what happens instead is that you take a step, and then he lights up that spot underneath your foot, and you take a step, and he lights up that spot underneath your foot. So Peter's willing to take the step. You know, he's always willing to take the step, and he takes that step outside of the boat, and you know, through his faith, he's walking on the water towards Jesus. But again, like, the wind is really analogous to anxiety and distraction in our life. You know, he allows himself to be distracted, to take his eyes off of the Lord, and then all of a sudden that's when he sinks. But what does he do right? "Lord, save me." The first thing he does in his desperation is he reaches out for the Lord, not for some other thing, some other distraction. So even though in some sense Peter's easily distracted, he always reorients himself towards the Lord, because he knows. He knows that's the right direction to go. And then subsequently, you know, he's saved from many things in his whole entire life. And I mentioned this, of course, this weekend in my homily, but I know it's like some people are there the days that I'm there and some people are not. But I'll mention this again. The reason that this is so profound, that the disciples say at this point, truly you are the Son of God, is think about this scene. These are men who are accustomed to working outside all day for their whole life. That's how they grew up. That's the trade that they learn. So the natural world is extremely important for them. You know, the water, the weather, you know, the fish, all these different things that they do in their life. So when they saw that Jesus actually had command over nature, over creation, they were absolutely dumbfounded by that fact. It was probably their biggest converting factor, because it's like, yeah, who is this who even has control over the wind and the waves? They just couldn't even fathom that or understand it. And I gave this story the other day. I was anointing a man, and it was just completely, I was dumbfounded. But I was there, and we invited his caregiver to come in to be part of the anointing. And they have a chocolate lab there. And usually I just end up, the very rambunctious animal, and I just usually end up covered in, like, you know, chocolate lab hair, because I'm always wearing black, right? So, but in this particular case, he was over with the owner in the corner of the room. And that at a pivotal part of the rite, right before you lay your hands on an individual before the actual anointing itself, the dog walks over to me, sits down in front of me, and then just presents its paw to me. And I just was like, well, hello, little fellow. You know, it was just such a funny occurrence. And so, like, right at that point, and then I stood up, and then, you know, I imposed hands on this gentleman, and then I proceeded with the rest of the rite. And then he walks back over to the owner, you know, sits down over by her. And then I sat down, and I took the pyx out, and I put the Eucharist on the table, and I said, let us pray in the words that Christ himself taught us. And he walked back, the dog walked back across the room. He knelt down in front of me, and then he presented both of his paws to me. And again, I was just dumbfounded. And I, like I said on Sunday, I was like, it is the first time in my life ever that I ever prayed the Lord's Prayer holding a dog's paws. But there was something so important in that moment for me. And I told a number of other stories that we hear in Lives of the Saints and in others that I've heard before about animals recognizing the Lord in the Eucharist is an unusual thing, right? You know, they don't have the same faculties of reason that we do or the same soul that we do, but they're created beings by God and as such seem to recognize where they came from, how they were created in some way, shape, or form. And so when we see this sort of cooperation with, like, nature and the creator, the author of life, I love that term, by the way, you know, we see this, truly you are the Son of God. And so that recognition of control of our natural world, the one thing that we still don't have control of, which is evident every single time it snows with, like, any amount here in Portland, right? It's just like, well, still don't have control over the weather because it shut down the entire city, you know, in like half an inch of snow, right? But this is an important thing for us. The author of life, the creator itself, has command over all these things. So anytime we have this struggle with doubt of the Lord, or we try to put him into some sort of box, like, Lord, that's not the way I would do things, you know, we need to think again. Remember, Almighty God, author of life, creator of all things. It's like, he's the one at the helm, not us or our opinion of the way that we think that he should do things. And so when we think about a moment like this, this deep, deep, you know, deepening of conversion for the apostles, we have to realize that in ourselves. And sometimes he gives us moments like that moment I experienced with that little puppy and that anointing, that you're like, oh, somebody else is in control, and it's not me. God bless you all.